Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be exploring the world of Vishnu.
The preserver deity in Hinduism.
Right. We're going to be trying to understand his cosmic role and all those famous avatars like Rama and Krishna.
And, of course, the symbolism.
Yeah, the symbolism, how it all reflects his sort of divine functions. And, you know, we've had some questions from our listeners about Vishnu's impact on Dharma.
Oh, good one.
So we'll definitely try to weave that into our exploration as well.
Sounds good.
So to help us navigate this this pretty vast and intricate topic, we've got some really insightful excerpts from some scholarly works on Indian history and religion and culture.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Me too. All right. So to start us off, you know, when we think about Vishnu, it's important to remember that he's not this solitary figure, right?
Right. He's part of what's known as the Hindu Trinity.
Exactly. The Trinity, with Brahma, the creator, and Shiva, the destroyer.
Mm.
So how does this trinity work together to shape the cosmos? What does it actually mean for Vishnu to be like the preserver within this whole dynamic?
Well, you can think of it as this kind of cosmic dance between creation, destruction, and preservation. And it's this constant interplay that keeps the universe in motion. Vishnu's role is to maintain balance amidst these forces. He's ensuring the continuity of existence.
And upholding Dharma, the cosmic order.
Right, exactly.
So it's not like he's passively preserving things.
Not at all.
It sounds like he's actively engaged in maintaining this balance.
Oh yeah, definitely. The sources really emphasize that Vishnu, he doesn't just, you know, sit back and watch. He intervenes whenever Dharma is threatened.
And that's where the avatars come in, right?
Exactly.
These divine incarnations that descend to Earth.
To restore balance.
And I have to say, these avatars are some of the most captivating figures in all of Hindu mythology, right?
Oh, for sure.
You've got Rama, known for his unwavering adherence to duty, and Krishna, the master strategist.
Right.
What can we learn about Vishnu's role as preserver by examining what they did and how they acted?
Well, Rama, as depicted in the epic Ramayana, he really exemplifies the ideal of moral conduct.
Okay.
He faces these immense challenges, but he remains steadfast in his commitment to righteousness, embodying, you know, the very essence of Dharma.
You know, it's interesting that you highlight Rama's commitment to righteousness, right?
Yeah.
Does this suggest that following one's Dharma, even when it's difficult, is a key aspect of Vishnu's influence on cosmic order?
That's a great observation. It seems that upholding Dharma, even when faced with adversity, is a core principle, you know, woven into Vishnu's essence.
Right.
And then we have Krishna, as depicted in the Bhagavad Gita,
right,
who takes a more nuanced approach. He emphasizes wisdom, strategic thinking, and understanding the complexities of Dharma to guide humanity towards a path of balance.
So both Rama and Krishna, despite their different approaches, ultimately contribute to preserving this cosmic order.
Yeah.
But how does this concept of Dharma actually manifest in the world? It seems like it's more than just doing the right thing, right?
It's multifaceted. It encompasses righteous conduct, cosmic order, and duty.
It's complex.
It's this complex interplay between individual actions and universal balance.
Okay.
Vishnu's actions, both directly and through his avatars, aim to uphold and reestablish this delicate balance.
That makes me wonder if we're living in a time when Vishnu might need to manifest a new avatar, you know?
Wow. To restore balance in the world, that's a fascinating question.
It really is.
Perhaps we can find some clues by, you know, looking deeper into the symbolism associated with Vishnu. Each of his attributes holds these layers of meaning, offering further insights into his divine functions.
Okay, let's unpack that symbolism.
All right.
We've got the conch, the discus, the mace, and the lotus. Each one seems to hold this unique significance. What can you tell us about the conch?
So the conch, it's known as the Shankha, represents the primordial sound of creation. It symbolizes Vishnu's power to awaken the universe.
So it's more than just a musical instrument.
Oh, absolutely. It also signifies this call to righteousness. It's like urging all beings to align themselves with Dharma.
Right. A reminder of our own responsibility to uphold cosmic order.
Yeah.
What about the discus? It always seemed like such a powerful weapon to me.
It is. The discus, known as the Sudarshana Chakra, symbolizes the cyclical nature of time. It also represents Vishnu's power to cut through ignorance and the destruction of evil.
Ah, so it's not about brute force.
No.
But about removing obstacles.
Yes.
That stand in the way of Dharma.
And cosmic order.
What about the mace?
The mace, known as the Kamadaki, represents Vishnu's raw strength and authority, his ability to protect the cosmos, and the subjugation of negative forces. Think of it as a symbol of, like, cosmic law enforcement.
Okay, I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah.
Each symbol represents a different aspect of Vishnu's power.
Exactly.
And his role as the preserver. Finally, we have the lotus. It's such a beautiful and serene image. What does it signify?
The lotus symbolizes purity and spiritual awakening. It rises above the muddy waters just as Vishnu transcends the material world. It signifies the potential for enlightenment and reminds us that even amidst chaos and impurity, we can strive for spiritual growth and liberation.
It's fascinating how these seemingly simple objects can hold such profound meanings, right?
It is, isn't it?
It feels like we're starting to understand the depth and complexity of Vishnu's cosmic role.
We're getting there.
But there's still so much to explore.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm curious to learn more about how these concepts play out in Vishnu's mythology and how his influence on Dharma has shaped Indian thought and culture.
Well, you're right. We've only just scratched the surface. There are countless other aspects of Vishnu's mythology that can shed light on his role as the preserver and his impact on Dharma.
Well, I'm ready to dive even deeper. What other fascinating details about Vishnu and his avatars might we uncover as we continue our exploration? Stay tuned, because we're about to delve further into this captivating world of Hindu mythology.
You mentioned earlier you were curious about how Vishnu's influence on Dharma has shaped Indian thought.
Right.
Perhaps exploring some specific examples of how his principles have played out in history would be illuminating.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Are there any historical figures or events that might have been influenced by these concepts of Dharma and Vishnu's role as the preserver?
That's a question that historians continue to debate, you know. But some scholars see parallels between the actions of certain rulers, like Ashoka, and the ideals of Dharma.
Ashoka, didn't he have a major change of heart after a particularly brutal battle?
Exactly. Ashoka's embrace of nonviolence and his focus on social welfare could be seen as attempts to promote righteous conduct and a harmonious society, reflecting the principles of Vishnu's influence.
So even though we can't definitively say that Ashoka consciously saw himself as embodying Vishnu,
right,
the parallels are striking.
Yeah.
It's like those ideas permeated the culture so deeply that they influenced, you know, leadership.
Precisely. Yeah. It's a reminder that history isn't just about dates and battles.
Right.
It's about ideas and how they shape entire civilizations.
Right.
Speaking of shaping civilizations, there's so many fascinating examples of Vishnu's influence on art and architecture.
Oh, yeah.
And literature.
Absolutely, yeah.
Throughout Indian history.
The incredible temples dedicated to him.
Yeah.
The countless works of art depicting his avatars. It's like stepping into a living mythology.
Yeah, exactly. These artistic expressions give us tangible evidence of Vishnu's enduring presence.
Right.
Think of the majestic temple complexes of Khajuraho.
Yeah.
The intricate sculptures of Ellora.
Yeah.
The vibrant paintings depicting scenes from the Ramayana and the Bhagavad Gita.
Right.
Each one tells a story, offering a unique perspective on Vishnu's divine attributes, and his role in maintaining that cosmic order.
It's almost like these artistic creations give those ancient stories and those complex concepts.
Yeah.
They give them a physical form.
Yeah, yeah.
That we can interact with.
Yeah.
What a powerful way to keep those ideas alive through generations.
Definitely.
We talked about Vishnu's abode earlier, Vaikuntha. Can we explore that a bit more?
Oh, sure.
What can this realm tell us about Vishnu's role and the ultimate goal of existence from a Hindu perspective?
Okay, so imagine a place of pure bliss, untouched by suffering and decay.
Okay.
That's Vaikuntha, Vishnu's eternal abode. It's described as a realm of dazzling beauty, filled with celestial gardens, flowing rivers, and palaces adorned with precious gems.
It sounds idyllic.
It does, doesn't it?
Is this the ultimate reward for those who live a life in accordance with Dharma?
It's not quite that simple. Reaching Vaikuntha isn't about reward or punishment.
Yeah.
It's about escaping the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth, achieving liberation or moksha. It represents the ultimate union with the divine, free from the limitations of material existence. And while living a life in accordance with Dharma may contribute to this journey, it's a complex process.
So it's about transcending the cycle of reincarnation.
Yeah.
To reach a state of pure consciousness.
Yes.
What does this tell us about Vishnu's role, though?
Well, I think it shows that Vishnu's concern extends beyond the material world. He isn't just preserving physical existence. He's guiding souls towards spiritual liberation.
So Vishnu isn't just a cosmic caretaker.
Right.
But also a spiritual guide.
In a way, yes.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is. It is. Hindu mythology is rich with these interconnected layers. We've been talking a lot about Vishnu's actions and symbolism. But Hindu mythology also emphasizes his consorts.
Okay.
They aren't just, you know, passive companions.
Right.
But they represent different aspects of his power and play vital roles in his cosmic functions.
Okay, this is where it gets really fascinating.
Yeah, right.
I'm definitely intrigued to delve into the world of Vishnu's divine consorts.
Yeah, let's start with Lakshmi.
Okay.
Who we've already mentioned in relation to Dharma.
Yeah.
She's probably the most well-known of Vishnu's consorts.
Yes, Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, prosperity, and fortune. I'm curious to understand how she complements Vishnu's role.
Well, Lakshmi embodies the abundance and well-being of a thriving world,
okay.
Suggesting a world preserved by Vishnu isn't just, you know, safe, but prosperous.
That makes sense, yeah. It's hard to imagine a truly flourishing world without some degree of material prosperity.
Mm.
But is there a danger in material wealth?
Oh, yeah.
Leading people away from Dharma?
That's a key point. Lakshmi's presence alongside Vishnu emphasizes that material wealth guided by Dharma,
okay,
can contribute to a balanced life.
Yeah.
It's not about rejecting material wealth,
right,
but using it wisely and ethically. This connects back to the broader concept of Dharma, which, you know, encompasses all aspects of life.
So it's a reminder that even material prosperity should be in service to a higher purpose.
Yes.
Not an end in itself.
Exactly. Lakshmi isn't the only consort, though. Another prominent one is Bhudevi,
oh,
the earth goddess.
Ah, Bhudevi. She represents the physical earth itself, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious how that connects to Vishnu's role as the preserver.
So Bhudevi embodies the nurturing, life-giving aspects of the natural world. Her presence alongside Vishnu emphasizes his role as protector of all life on Earth.
So Vishnu isn't just concerned with humanity.
Right.
But the well-being of the entire planet. That's a perspective with striking relevance today, isn't it?
Absolutely. It emphasizes the interconnectedness of all beings.
Right.
And the importance of preserving the delicate balance of nature.
This makes me think about all the environmental challenges that we're facing today.
Yeah.
Could we interpret this as a time when Bhudevi's role, and therefore Vishnu's concern for the earth, is particularly important?
It's certainly a thought-provoking interpretation. It seems the ancient wisdom embedded in these myths continues to resonate in the face of modern challenges.
Okay, so we've talked about Lakshmi and Bhudevi.
Yeah.
Are there other consorts who play significant roles?
Absolutely. Another fascinating consort is Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, wisdom, and the arts.
I've seen images of her depicted with a book and a musical instrument. What does she represent in relation to Vishnu?
Well, Saraswati embodies the importance of knowledge, creativity, and intellectual growth. Her presence alongside Vishnu suggests that a world preserved by him isn't just, you know, physically safe,
right,
but intellectually and culturally vibrant as well.
So it's a holistic vision of preservation, mm-hmm, not just about physical safety,
right,
but the flourishing of knowledge,
yeah,
and the arts.
Precisely. And as we delve deeper into Vishnu's mythology, we'll see this interconnectedness again and again.
Well, I'm ready for more. What other fascinating aspects of Vishnu's mythology might we uncover as we continue this deep dive?
We've been discussing Vishnu's consorts and how they embody different aspects of his power.
Right, yeah.
Are there any stories or myths that highlight their roles in his actions? Do they actively participate in events?
Yeah. I'm curious about that. Do they just kind of symbolize these things, or do they actually get involved?
Oh, they definitely get involved. Well, Vishnu is often the central figure. There are instances where his consorts play crucial roles. For example, there's this fascinating story about Lakshmi's part in restoring balance during a time of great turmoil.
Oh, okay.
So the myth tells of this severe drought plaguing the world. Crops were failing. People were starving. the balance of nature was in jeopardy. Vishnu recognized the dire situation and decided to intervene, but he realized he couldn't do it alone.
So he turned to Lakshmi.
Exactly.
It makes sense that the goddess of prosperity would be essential in a time of famine.
Right. Vishnu sought Lakshmi's aid. Knowing her power over abundance was key to restoring balance. He asked for her help to revitalize the earth and end the drought.
What did Lakshmi do?
Ever compassionate and devoted to her consort, Lakshmi used her divine powers to summon the rain clouds, replenishing the parched earth and ending the famine.
It's a beautiful story. It shows that Lakshmi's role goes beyond simply symbolizing wealth.
Yeah.
She's an active force working alongside Vishnu to ensure the well-being of all beings.
Yeah.
It reinforces the idea that Vishnu's consorts are partners in his mission, each contributing their abilities to preserve Dharma.
But we focused a lot on the benevolent aspects of Vishnu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any stories that depict him as a more fearsome deity?
That's a great question. While Vishnu is primarily known for his benevolent and protective nature, there are instances where he displays a more fearsome aspect.
Right.
Take, for example, the story of Narasimha, one of Vishnu's most ferocious avatars.
Narasimha, wasn't he the half-man, half-lion who tore apart a demon king?
That's the one.
Yeah, that story always struck me as kind of intense. It is. The Narasimha avatar shows that Vishnu isn't simply a passive force for good. He can unleash his wrath against evil and injustice when necessary.
It reminds us that even in preserving cosmic order, there are times when decisive action, even violence, is needed to overcome powerful forces of negativity.
Exactly. And it highlights an important aspect of Hindu mythology, the idea that even the gods aren't purely good or evil. Mm. They're complex beings capable of a range of emotions and actions, just like humans.
Right, right. That complexity makes exploring these myths even more fascinating.
Mm.
You talked about Vishnu's weapons earlier. Could those be seen as extensions of his multifaceted nature?
Absolutely. Vishnu's weapons aren't just tools of destruction. They represent different aspects of his divine power and play, you know, symbolic roles in his cosmic function. The Sudarshana chakra, for example, is a spinning disc said to be infused with this incredible power. It's often depicted as this blazing weapon capable of slicing through anything.
So how does this fearsome weapon fit into Vishnu's role as the preserver?
Well, think about it this way.
It seems to be contradictory, doesn't it?
The Sudarshana chakra represents Vishnu's ability to cut through ignorance, dispel illusion, and destroy evil, restoring balance and upholding Dharma.
It's not just brute force,
right?
But a targeted removal of obstacles to cosmic order.
Exactly.
Are there other weapons that embody different aspects of Vishnu's power?
Another prominent weapon is the Kamadaki, a mace symbolizing his raw strength and authority. It represents Vishnu's ability to subdue negative forces, protect the cosmos, and ensure Dharma prevails. We can see these weapons as extensions of Vishnu's power,
mm-hmm.
often wielded by his avatars to carry out their missions on Earth.
That makes me think of Rama wielding a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
It's almost like those are manifestations of Vishnu's cosmic weapons.
Right, exactly. They represent the cosmic forces Vishnu commands and serve as reminders of his ultimate authority.
Right.
And his commitment to preserving order. This leads us to another fascinating element of Vishnu's mythology.
Okay.
His animal companions or Vahanas.
Oh, yes. I remember reading about Garuda, the giant eagle that serves as Vishnu's mount.
That's right.
Are these Vahanas just modes of transport, or do they have like a deeper meaning?
Just like his weapons, Vishnu's Vahanas are more than just transportation. They represent different aspects of his divine power. Garuda, for instance, is often depicted with golden feathers and a wingspan that can blot out the sun.
He sounds majestic. What does Garuda represent?
Garuda symbolizes speed, strength, and unwavering loyalty.
What?
As Vishnu's mount, he allows the god to travel swiftly across the cosmos, responding to threats and ensuring the timely preservation of order.
So it's like having a cosmic emergency response system.
Yeah, exactly.
Vishnu Tuna can be anywhere in the universe in an instant.
Right. And Garuda's keen eyesight symbolizes Vishnu's all-seeing nature, allowing him to perceive everything happening in the universe.
It's not just about speed and power then.
No.
But also knowledge and awareness.
Exactly.
Garuda allows Vishnu to act swiftly and decisively. But we've talked a lot about action and intervention, right? Are there Vahanas that represent a different aspect of Vishnu's nature?
Absolutely. Another notable Vahana is Adasesha, a giant serpent with multiple heads.
Okay.
He's often depicted coiled up, forming the bed upon which Vishnu rests.
I've always loved that image of Vishnu reclining on Adasesha.
Yeah, it's a beautiful one.
It evokes a sense of peace and tranquility.
It does, doesn't it?
What does Adasesha represent?
I mean, Adasesha embodies timelessness, stability, and the very foundation of the universe. He provides this stable base for Vishnu to contemplate the cosmos, symbolizing the importance of balance between action and inaction. Preservation requires both dynamic intervention and quiet contemplation.
Right, right. It's a reminder that even a god as powerful as Vishnu needs moments of rest and reflection to truly understand the universe he protects. Are there any other Vahanas that offer insights into Vishnu's nature?
One more we should mention is Kurma, the giant tortoise.
Okay. You might remember him from the story of the churning of the ocean,
yeah.
where he offered his back as a pivot for Mount Mandara.
Yes, yes. It's such a powerful image of stability and resilience. What does Kurma symbolize as Vishnu's Vahana?
Kurma represents patience, endurance, and steadfastness. He embodies the qualities needed to maintain order and balance,
yeah,
in a constantly changing world. It's a reminder that true preservation requires not just strength and speed, but also the ability to withstand challenges and persevere through difficult times.
It feels like each of Vishnu's Vahanas offers a different lesson about the qualities needed to uphold Dharma and maintain balance in the cosmos.
You've put it beautifully. They each embody a facet of Vishnu's nature and offer guidance on how we might contribute to preserving harmony in our own lives. This deep dive has been truly enlightening. We've explored so much. Vishnu's avatars, symbols, consorts, weapons, Vahanas. I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of his role as the preserver and the complexity of Dharma.
And through understanding Vishnu, we gain a richer appreciation for the beauty and wisdom of Hindu mythology.
Well, thank you for joining us on this incredible journey into the world of Vishnu. We hope you found it as insightful and thought-provoking as we have.
Until next time, may you find balance, wisdom, and strength in your own journey.